In this episode, you're going to find out how increased competition affects video marketers.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by WireBuzz.
Yo, yo. In a few moments, I'm going to be joined by WireBuzz's Director of Strategy, Marcus Krieg, to explain how increased competition affects video marketers. But first, coming up this week, I'm going to be in San Francisco at Vidyard's Viewtopia Conference. I'm going to be hosting the general session fireside chat with Salesforce.com's rock stars of video marketing. And we're going to be talking about how video is affecting social media and how social is affecting video. It's going to be a really interesting conversation. And I've already heard from Vidyard that WireBuzz and this podcast will get the audio that we're going to use in a future episode. So for those of you that are hardcore listeners, you're going to have a wonderful conversation. And this video of that fireside chat that we're going to be having at Viewtopia will also be available on Vidyard's website on demand. I'll tell you more about that as things progress. You know, it's going to be a crazy week for me and my team. We're going to be filming and working in five cities this week on behalf of clients. We'll be in San Francisco, like I just mentioned, Reno, Chicago, Phoenix, and Grand Rapids, Michigan, creating really compelling content for our clients. Now, before I get over to the topic, I want to tell you about some really interesting video marketing news that's happening. Facebook Live has been running a series of commercials. I don't know if you've seen it, but they've got some girls singing on it. And I kind of think it's a strange commercial because the use cases that they're using, that Facebook's using in these commercials, are people engaging with other people, almost like it's a FaceTime chat, you know, or a Skype conversation. But the reality is there's some serious business applications for Facebook Live. And even in that commercial, their branding is insufficient because they have a Facebook icon, which is just the lowercase f with the word live, which doesn't do a very good job of explaining what it is, how to say it, and also how to use it to advance your business. So I find it really interesting. A lot of businesses are using Facebook Live right now, and there's a great opportunity for you to get in front of your target customers, to grow your brand, and also to turn your Facebook friends into your referral network. But I just don't see Facebook executing their marketing strategy as brilliantly as the tool can be used for businesses. In August, Pinterest launched full video ads for brands. Now, this is nothing new, and it seems like almost every major social media website has done the same thing. But now, Pinterest is taking it one step further by creating mobile-only promoted videos. And it plays as a teaser in the form of an animated GIF that automatically plays in the user's pin board, making your video immediately stand out from other pins. And if they want to watch the full video, they can click on that and watch it all the way through. And advertisers have the capability to select up to six supporting pins that appear below your video. Now, Pinterest is a platform that a lot of video marketers tend to overlook. It's often perceived to have a very narrow demographic use, you know, vastly female, typically younger, but that's not entirely true. You know, yeah, their demographic is primarily female. But, you know, if you look at it this way, the age range is vastly, and Sprout Social reports that 34% of users make over $75,000 a year. So they do have ample disposable income, a really interesting place for marketers. Now, really businesses in all industries are seeing great success with Pinterest, probably because the competition's pretty low when it comes to advertising. But the rumor has it that it takes a $500,000 ad investment in order to gain access to one of these promoted video pins. So it's not quite as accessible as Facebook or YouTube advertising, which pretty much allows any of us to get in and play in that territory. And you'll be paying by impression, not click-through, so not quite as cost-effective either. All right, Facebook. There's an interesting article about Facebook in TechCrunch this week titled Facebook Video Pays Off. Facebook reports that their average revenue per user grew 49.1% in the US and in Canada, And that's all thanks to their video-first strategy. Here's what Zuckerberg, the big Zuck, has to say about their growth. Quote, "What is enabling video to become huge right now is that fundamentally the mobile networks are getting to a point where a large enough number of people around the world can have a really good experience in watching video. Now that bandwidth has caught up with our obsession with video, it's time to take full advantage while you can. Facebook is proving that video works, and it works not only for their business and why they've done a really nice quick pivot to a video first platform, but it also, as you've heard in past episodes of Video Marketing Mastery, is this really powerful tool that businesses are deploying to amplify ROI. Now, despite the revenue growth that video has brought to Facebook, Facebook is smart enough not to get greedy. You know, their investors aren't happy about that, but Facebook is kind of going slowly about this. They've pretty much maxed out their ad loads, or the number of ads that they can stuff into a user's newsfeed before the experience gets absolutely totally obliterated. You know, they said 2017 is going to be a year of investment for the social giant, but with 80 million new users in the last quarter alone, I don't think that they're too worried about slowing down the growth of Facebook. They'll still be generating plenty of revenue going forward. It's interesting to watch the transition take place. Incidentally, my Facebook experience, I think, is becoming less and less of a valued platform because they're showing me fewer and fewer people. I'm actually really seeing only the same damn people every time I go on Facebook. And as I've mentioned in the past, I'm not a big fan of their algorithm. And this topic's going to actually dovetail pretty nicely into the bigger topic of this episode, which we're going to get into in a few moments. A listener to this podcast submitted a very interesting question from Dubai last week. And he wrote, quote, "Hey, Todd, how are you? Following your podcast regularly. It's been very helpful for my business too. Actually struggling quite a bit with two major obstacles. Maybe you can help me. The first obstacle is small business owners do not understand how to use video. So I've educated them during my sales pitches and I have to create the need for video. Now I'm going to be joined right now by Marcus Krieg. Marcus, thanks for joining me on the podcast again.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. You know, this is an interesting topic because literally, dude, when you rolled into this business 4.5 years ago and joined me at Wirebuzz, we had that problem, right?
Oh yeah.
But as we started to educate our target customers, and education in the video marketing space is something that we're doing every day with every client in every meeting, right?
Right. And really, I mean, if you think about it, you know, most video marketers haven't been doing a good job of teaching video marketing. And when you think about it, it's because a lot of the growth around video has been coming from individual creators, YouTubers mostly, or it's coming from video producers who aren't marketers. And so there's very low quality education around video marketing out there.
All right. So for our friend in Dubai, just know it is part of the standard process. Eventually your target customer is going to get up to speed. They're going to start seeing it and hearing it from their friends, from their families. It's already a foregone conclusion. We're doing less education today than we had to do when we got started 6 years ago. But as long as use the education question as an opportunity to develop deeper relationships, to nurture their trust, and you will find that if you are teaching them along the way, they will also become part of your tribe that follows you and believes you. I mean, Marcus, you have seen this. How many times do we have clients that wherever they go, no matter how many customers, we are part of their essential work tools that they bring us everywhere they've gone?
Well, I couldn't even count it.
It's every client, right? I mean, we've got one client that in our 6 years has been at 5 companies and brought us to 5 companies, and we're still with all those companies, but he isn't there anymore.
See, you know, it's funny. You say he, the one who came to my mind, maybe it was four, but yeah.
Is a she.
Yeah, is a she.
Yeah. So, that is the opportunity that you have in Dubai as a marketer is to be the rock star. Don't miss the opportunity to educate. All right.
I would also add to that, obviously providing the education is a wonderful tool. And organizations like Wirebuzz are going to continue to put out helpful educational content. But I think that, a shorter term fix aside from, creating content and enabling giving time to the industry to start creating some of that education is to expand your services. If you're a video producer, if you're trying to get more people adopting video, then the very best thing that you can do is show them results. And that means not just creating their videos, but also executing those marketing campaigns for them, a done for you service, if you will.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because when we got started, we were more of a digital marketing agency than video people, even though I already had, some 8,000-9,000 videos under my belt. We started seeing that the demand, the way people got into the topic of video would come from search. Oh, Todd, we need to improve our search. We need to maximize our social, or how about our email campaigns aren't good enough, or we're not selling quick enough. And what we discovered is that if we just solved business problems, that and video gets the best results for all of the online business tactics, that if we were the team that solved those problems, we could use video 9 times out of 10 to amplify their results.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that a little bit of context around how, the Wirebuzz journey is really valuable here. When we got started, as Todd mentioned, we were just a marketing agency. We helped people with whatever marketing they needed, whether that was conversion rate optimization or SEO or email marketing, whatever. And then when we got to the point where we had that huge aha that, hey, the most profitable, the most valuable thing that we do here is video, we went all in on video production. And then what happened? We started cranking out videos for clients.
Right.
And
we became our best client.
Yep. And then, but what was interesting is that when all we were doing was creating video, many of our clients weren't actually executing the strategies, even when we taught them how to do everything detailed step by step. I mean, just think about some of those strategies we created back in the day. They were basically long form tutorials, and yet clients still weren't executing. And so what did we do? We went back more towards an agency marketing model. We started actually helping clients with the promotion and deployment of their video assets. So we came back full circle. Now we're more of a marketing agency again.
And it's because we already had the video skills in-house, and we already had the marketing skills in-house. And we just started seeing that our clients weren't ready to take the finished videos and execute them at the level that we would be happy with. So we knew that we had to open up or reopen that part of the company, which is the promotion, the deployment, the execution when the video is completed. And when we did that, we took control of our client projects from starting point A to finished point deployment Z. We started to see that now the projects were taking off and working.
Right. And better client retention too, for sure.
All right. So I want to tell you the moment that I realized that we were the video people, right? And you were there. So you'll find this interesting. We were at a baseball game in Fenway Park. And I said to Mark Trapping, and I go, I know people think of us as the video people, but we really are digital marketers. And Mark looked at me and goes, no, you're the video guy. Don't confuse that. We all know you as the video guy. When you go and speak around and you leave the room, we're like, that's the video guy. And I turned to Marcus and I said, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable being the video guy. And Marcus said, we're the video guys. You sit tight for a couple of years and you'll get comfortable with it. And do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. It's tough because you don't want to pigeonhole yourself as a business. But one of the most common pieces of business advice is to niche down. And so while we're more than capable of executing almost any kind of marketing strategy, we know that the biggest area of opportunity, the thing that makes us most unique as an agency, is that we're video specialists. And so why not just use that as a
competitive
advantage?
Yeah, but I think we niched down too early. Like now, with the way video has saturated the public consciousness, we could niche down, but we had started so early in the video process that when we niched down, people still hadn't made that connection to how you use video as a business tool.
Yeah, and now I'd say that we have clients who come to us looking for video specifically, But we also have a lot of clients who are looking to solve just business problems.
Yeah.
And we use video as a tool to increase attention and stand out. So usually video is a very useful tool for solving those business problems.
All right. So that was a great question. Thank you for submitting it. We got another question in this week. I'm going to read it out, then we're going to talk about it for a few moments, and then we're going to get back to our subject matter at hand for this episode. This other question is, I'm not really sure how to measure ROI in video, and I want to know how to explain the real impact of video in terms of ROI with my clients or with my boss. So let's take that. I know that Marcus, it's one of his favorite topics here at Wirebuzz, a great opportunity for you to tee off on it. Marcus, when you're talking with clients about how they measure ROI and the effectiveness of the video, how do you explain that?
Well, this is an extremely complex topic. So obviously we could have an entire series of podcasts around this. So, but at a brief level, there are three main types of videos based on the goal. There's your typical marketing video, which is designed to drive traffic and leads. Then there's another type of video that are designed to increase conversion rates on web pages on your website or, you know, landing pages. And then we also have sales process videos. And sales process videos are all about helping your sales team move prospects through the buyer's journey and all the way to the sale. The way you measure the ROI of each of these videos is very different. So if you know how valuable a lead is to your client's company, then you would, let's talk about that lead gen videos. So if you know how valuable a lead is to your customer, right? So some percentage of them will turn into customers, average deal size is X. So now you know what the value per lead is. So you could look at the video and see, okay, how many leads is this video generating? You could use UTM tracking, simple bit of code that you append to the end of your video links. And what that'll do is it'll give you an estimate of how many leads you're actually generating. You multiply that by your value per lead. You have a rough calculation of ROI for that video. Now, obviously, if a video is a marketing video, it's usually going to be evergreen. So you can only look back at historical data. You don't know, is your YouTube video going to rank next year? Is it going to rank better next year or worse? You don't really know, but you can get a pretty good sense of the projections and the trend lines on a video for marketing.
And those evergreen videos are going to be valuable and generating ROI for years and months to come, as long as your product or your service doesn't substantially change.
Exactly. And then you have website videos. This one's probably the easiest. So every page on your website needs to have a call to action where people can join your email list or purchase a product, one of those two things. So when you add a website video and the goal is to increase that web page's conversion rate, what you want to do is look at the percentage increase in conversions, and that will give you an ROI calculation for that page, because you now know, okay, what kind of business impact does this page have? So let's say that it's a product page, because that's a little easier. So on a product page, let's say that the page is generating $5,000 in revenue a month, and you add a video to it, and that page increases in conversion rate by 50%. Well, now that page is making $7,500 a month. That's $2,500 a month ROI. And then as long as you keep that video on there and you're getting, you know, the same kind of traffic, that video is driving $2,500 per month in ROI, again, perpetually, as long as the video's up. So you could see pretty quickly how you know, for lead gen and website videos, pretty simple calculations.
All right, dude. So one question that I can already hear the person who submitted asking themselves, but how do I know if that video is generating ROI on that page?
Yeah, you have to be tracking the conversion rates. Like if you're not tracking goals on your webpage, then your analytics is not set up properly. It's cool to be able to look at how many page views you're getting, how many website hits you're getting, you know, how people are navigating your website. All of that's cool and fine, but it doesn't really matter. What really matters is how each of your pages are converting and that you're optimizing those pages over time to be more and more effective. Video is one of the tools you can use to do so.
Cool. Super. I'm comfortable with that answer. I know, Marcus, you've got a video coming out about it soon, right?
Yeah, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be actually publishing a long-form YouTube video about measuring ROI. I think it's like almost 8 minutes long because it's, like I said, it's a pretty complex topic.
All right, so we'll make sure that we mention that video in a coming episode so you can find access to it as a listener of this podcast. And then why don't we take this moment, we'll segue right into our main topic of the day, which is really about competition and how increased competition affects video marketers. It's interesting to me because I'm starting to notice that the territory of video marketing is changing. It's almost as if every business now has a video, and if they don't have a video, they're in the process of figuring out how they can add videos so they can better convince and convert at faster rates. It's becoming common knowledge that if you want to succeed in today's landscape, that you have to start educating your prospects with the tool that they like to learn from the most. That's if you want your business to survive. And so we wanted to spend a few moments talking about competition because we're also seeing that those that become first adopters in their industry get really big, percentage growths in ROI.
49%.
Yeah, it's freakish, right?
Yep.
And then as others start to catch up, the landscape changes. Marcus, off the top of your head, what are some indicators that that market saturation is happening in video? And then what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some tactics that individual businesses can take to once again separate themselves from the herd.
Well, actually, on our last podcast episode, one of the data points that we were looking at that really shows the rapid rate of adoption for video is the Cisco data that's suggesting that by 2019, that over 80% of all website traffic is going to be going to videos. But just off the top of your head, you know that that is outrageous, right? It can't possibly trend line that far up. There's just too much text-based content out there. There's limited real estate for video.
Only trend line that exceeds projections and wildest expectations is national debt. Different topic, yeah. But it's the only time I've ever seen it exceed projections.
Right. When you look at a rapid period of adoption in any kind of technology or tool or what, you know, whatever, and you project that out for several years, assuming the same growth rate, you're going to get some of these wildly overblown numbers. But what that shows you, what that really means, isn't that 80% of website traffic is going to be video by 2019. So what this data is really telling us is that the rate of adoption for video, the demand for video from consumers is going up dramatically. And it will balance out, but what that is telling us is that the window of opportunity for using video to get ahead is starting to close. You have a very short period of time at this point to adopt video and use it as a competitive advantage. Soon you will have to use video or it's going to, start to fall behind.
And just so you understand, we're not saying that video has already peaked. It's not saturated. There's still window of opportunity, but once your competitors and everybody else in your industry that are indirect competitors are using video to communicate your messages, then it becomes a more challenging game because of the competition, right?
Right. And competition is one of those things that's that you really have to stay top of mind right now. Because as more and more people are using video, just having one isn't going to cut it. Tell me, how many times do we talk to clients and they're just like, oh, we just need a video on our homepage.
Right.
It comes up all the time.
And then our thing is, all right, well, we're not just going to sell you a video. Let's take a couple steps back and figure out what you need to be effective. And in a way, I think it kind of irritates people because I think what they're trying, at first glance, I think it irritates them because all they really want is to check the we have the video box. Mm-hmm. But the reality is they need the right video to create the right results.
Right. And one of the things that we always love to say here is, you know, if you think creating a good video is expensive, try hiring an amateur. Because while the video might still be a video, you can check the box. You can tell your boss, yes, we have a homepage video now.
And it changed nothing.
Yeah, it changes nothing. And the other thing is, when we're talking about increasing the conversion rates, like let's think back to the ROI discussion we were just having. The a 10% better video, that's a substantial difference in ROI for your business over time.
Those are bonuses at the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. And so, having a video is great. By the way, having a bad video can actually hurt your page. Little known fact, not all videos are going to increase your conversion rate. Not all videos are going to engage your audience. Not all videos are going to rank on YouTube. So you have to be thinking in terms of competition, what's already out there, and how you can do it the right way the first time.
All right, so now let's take the next logical step. Let's say you have found yourself in a competitive environment where, let's say you look around and direct and indirect competitors are doing a great job using video to close deals faster, and the environment just got more competitive. What are some things that businesses can do to once again distance themselves from the herd, stand out, and get that early adopter increase in revenue?
Well, I mean, first of all, you can't let yourself get that far behind, right? So if your competition's closing deals faster than you, then what that means is that their operating costs as a percentage of their revenue have gone down. When you're selling three times faster, you can either hire more sales reps and crank that up, or you can decrease your operating costs and maintain revenue. In either scenario, your competitor's margin, their profit margin is going to go up. And when you have more profit margin, what happens? You advertise more aggressively, you invest more in research and development, and you start to put distance between you and your competitors.
And you start high-fiving angels above you, right?
I mean, that's what you do, angels,
yeah. Right? Okay, so that's really interesting. There's a lot of different tactics. It all depends on what your business is, but when you use video inside of the buyer's journey in the right targeted locations, that whole sales process starts to collapse. We noticed that when we started using video at Wirebuzz in our sales process, we went from an 8-week sales cycle down to 3, condensing our sales process by 67%, which at the end of the day changes the trajectory and growth of a business just like that, all by adding video in the right strategic places.
Right. And obviously it's important that you have videos for the sales process because sales teams are so expensive to maintain and to train. But it's not just the sales process. It's the quality of your videos on social, the relevance of your videos on social, the ability to hold attention spans for longer and longer durations on YouTube. You know, when we got started, 60-second, 90-second videos that had a high audience retention did extremely well on YouTube. You could crank out videos at scale. But these days, you watch because of watch time and the audience retention metrics being the two top ranking factors on YouTube. Now people who are creating really quality, really well-done videos that are 10 minutes long are the ones that are ranking on the first page. So if you want to stand out in the YouTube ecosystem, then you need to create long form content, but people have to stick around. So it has to be really good. And so, you know, we're looking at all these little competitive environments. You know, there's more people on Facebook. You know, there's more brands on Facebook competing for the attention of the same, you know, largely the same number of people. How do you make your video stand out? Because the YouTube video that you published 2 years ago that you just uploaded to Facebook yesterday, that's not going to cut it. It's not going to stand out. It's not going to get you the kind of engagement that you're going to want on Facebook.
We had a really interesting conversation today with a captain of industry, right? A company out there that is an enterprise level company that everybody listening knows their name.
Fortune 50.
Fortune 50 big dogs, okay? And almost every business uses their service one way or another. And one of the things that Marcus and I, as we were talking with them about strategy, we got excited about was how they use video in different areas, so in different locations, like on YouTube differently than on Facebook or Snapchat, and how those environments are all independent of each other, and then they have completely different video strategies once you get to their website. And I thought it was super cool because in a nutshell, the easiest way to explain it is they use social to answer questions and be helpful. This is early awareness stage. But once you click and go to their website, that whole website process is about dropping you through the funnel. and converting you. And it's a super cool philosophy because a lot of people aren't there yet with their video marketing strategies. A lot of people are putting the same video up on their website that they put up on social. And once your environment becomes more competitive, then you start to look at how do I use different places for different purposes? And how do I get lean and mean when people come to my site because I've already piqued their interest elsewhere? And how do I start the conversion process? Super cool, right?
Yeah. And, you know, actually just 2 weeks ago for This Week in Video Marketing, I published a post that was talking about the differences between Facebook and YouTube video. And, you know, we broke it down to five big things, such as things as simple as video length, like the length of a video on Facebook versus the length of a video on YouTube. Strikingly different. Like I said, long form videos work best on YouTube. Extremely short form videos work best on Facebook. And so using the same video in both contexts doesn't make a lot of sense.
Can I ask about this?
Sure.
So the reason long form works better on YouTube and short form works better on Facebook is because of intent. And
the algorithm. And what the algorithms prioritize.
Of course. But when you go on Facebook, you aren't searching for an answer to something. It shows up in your feed. And so you really don't have any intent to engage with it as it appears. And then you look at it and you go, oh, that's kind of interesting. But you're not looking for how to fix my garbage disposal that, and trust me, I'm the guy who had it on my phone and I'm underneath the sink fixing my garbage disposal. And sure enough, there was a button under there that you just push and you would never know if you didn't watch the YouTube video, but I would have no intent looking on Facebook for that.
Right. Yeah. YouTube is definitely, there's a lot more of a proactive decision to watch any video that you see there. So there's going to be a little bit more buy-in. Usually what that results in is a much longer audience retention. So for the same, if we published a video on YouTube, it was a couple minutes long, we might see 60, 70% audience retention rate. That means the average viewer makes it 60 to 70% of the way through the video before they drop off. On Facebook, you're lucky if any video you publish exceeds 15%.
Environments.
It's just a completely different environment.
Different audiences.
Right. And then there it all gets exacerbated by the algorithms. So on YouTube, the algorithm is going to prioritize watch time. Because that's YouTube's number one goal, keeping people on YouTube, serving them more ads. So you need to have that good audience retention to show that your video is good, but you also need to have as high of a watch time as possible. So long form videos that are also good and hold people's attention, they win. In a Facebook context, the algorithm's going to prioritize engagement. So what that means is you need people to get to the end of your video so that they'll like, comment, and share. They don't get to the end of your video, then there's a very low likelihood that those desirable actions are going to take place. So that means that shorter videos get more engagement because they got more view-throughs. And then, therefore, 30-second videos are going to outperform 4-minute videos every time.
Just because of the performance metrics.
Right.
Super cool. Look, if you're trying to figure out where to get started with your business's video marketing, we create a topic selection worksheet that helps you select the video topics that'll be profitable for your business. And you can access that at wirebuzz.com/topics. That's wirebuzz.com/topics. All right. So look, dude, what's the big takeaway here from somebody? Like if you could crystallize this down into, you know, a central thought, what should people be taking away from this conversation about the competitive landscape and the opportunities?
Well, there's two things. The first is you need to understand that when Gary Vee walks around saying that he's day trading attention, that's what marketing is. And as each network becomes increasingly competitive, the amount of attention that you're going to be able to get is going to decrease unless you jack up your quality and your relevance. So that means using the right type of video for the context in which you're sharing it. You don't always repurpose things. You don't just take a YouTube video, strip it down, put it over on Facebook. Now, that doesn't mean you can't design a video so that you could create two versions, a short version for Facebook, a long-form version for YouTube, but that means you have to be that much more strategic. And the second thing is that you just need to be better. You need to create better content than the competition. because you are competing for that attention. And it's not just the people you're competing with today. You also need to keep in mind that each of these networks is going to get more and more and more competitive. Your ROI for the same amount of time is going to go down. And what that means is you need to be planning for the future so that your content stands the test of time.
But you aren't saying that video is, when it becomes more competitive, you shouldn't be using video. In fact, you're saying you should be getting into video, being an early adopter, but when your industry gets more saturated with people using video, then you need to break video out and use it in very tactical ways.
Yes. If you don't use video, you will lose a significant amount of market share. So I'm assuming that everyone who's listening to this podcast is already on board with the notion that video is the future. The important thing to keep in mind is that because video is becoming more competitive, it's more people are adopting it, are using it because they, if they don't, they're falling behind.
And it works.
And it works. If you don't invest in quality right now, your video is going to be dated. And then you're going to have to go back. You're going to have to do it right. And that's just going to cost you more money.
We had a call with a client today in the robotics industry that wants to film everything with basically their iPhone and then put it together and have people take them seriously.
And have us write the script after the footage has been captured.
Which is all ass backwards.
Yeah.
And all a big problem. But, you know, people come at the video conversation from different levels of tactics, different levels of strategic insight. And, you know, you just got to nurture them through and help them get across the finish line with the highest quality content possible.
Yeah. And really, I mean, the chief takeaway when we're talking about competition is you need to invest in quality. And that's not just how good your camera, your lighting, and your audio is. That means a really smart strategy. And if you want to continue being able to repurpose your content across multiple platforms, then your strategy needs to be that much better because you're getting to a level of complexity that even is difficult for the pros. When I'm designing a video that's going to need to be used on YouTube and Facebook and in a different context, such as Wistia or Vidyard, it could become complex scripting a video that can be repurposed in so many different ways. Start factoring in stripping it down into sound bites. Now suddenly you have to write in sound bites. And so there's just so many layers of complexity, but you need to go into those projects knowing what you need to get out of it, but also recognizing that what you get out of it is going to dictate your results on each of the platforms you're intending to share that video.
Yeah, really well said. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, he's Marcus Krieg. He's Wirebuzz's big nerd in the house. He's our director of strategy. I just saw Marcus smile when I wasn't sure if it was a, oh man, or it was a smile, but he sure gave me a facial reaction. I think it was a smile, right?
I don't mind being called a nerd. Just don't call me a geek.
All right. Well, that's exactly how you use video in a competitive landscape to stand out. And as your industry becomes more and more competitive, how you use video and the tactics you use, and really the strategic insights will become more and more important. Listen, if this podcast was valuable to you, if you would, go and subscribe. You can subscribe for our podcast. Give us a really honest rating and review on Stitcher, on Google Play, on iTunes, everywhere you want to be listening to podcasts, we would like to be. And then don't forget, if you want to pitch a topic, right? Or let's say you want to pitch a guest that should be on the show, or even pitch yourself to be a guest, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/pitch with a P, not a B. And it'll come directly to me and I will see it and source it. And if you're at Viewtopia this week, come up and say hello. I love people. Love to meet you, hear about your business, find out what you're doing, what's working for you in the video space, what isn't. And I'll be there in Viewtopia land in San Francisco this week. Come up and say hello. On behalf of the Wirebuzz crew, we want to wish you a very prosperous week. And we also want to give you just one little thought. If your current sales process is slow, if your product is difficult to explain, if your sales team is inefficient, if, let's say, people all over the world are distributors or sales reps. It's a great way to use video to solve business problems. Start thinking about video that way. It's a very powerful tool. And when you do it right, you find yourself quickly becoming a video marketing master.